Good evening. I would like to call this meeting to order, and I have a few announcements at the beginning. Number one, our original schedule had the DA appearing. They will not be here. The sheriff was to appear. They will not be here. I have substituted Jonathan for today. He was going to be here at the next meeting, and so he is here this evening. At the end of this meeting, we will have a short talk, a discussion about how it is we all will be making amendments when we get to the voting meetings. My plan is either I will add those two departments at the next meeting or do them at the beginning of a voting meeting if they can't make it to the next meeting. But at any rate, we have a revised schedule on your desk, and we're ready to go, and Jonathan is up. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Okay. I'm substituting for the district attorney.
You are.
We both have attorney in the name, and judging by the number of phone calls I get, I think most people don't know the difference anyway.
Is that a crime?
Right. No, people do call all the time. We get several calls a day for the district attorney, and they say they get several calls a day for the county attorney, and I think it's only natural that people wouldn't know the difference. The county attorney's budget is just basically a maintenance of effort budget. There's nothing new. There is OTR, but the OTR request is just for books and legal research, Westlaw, which is the online legal research. It doesn't represent anything new. It simply represents the cost of those items going up over time, and they are essential to a legal office. The recommended budget is the same. The expenditures has that OTR, that small OTR $3,000 request. That's basically the difference between the 2013 modified and the 2014 recommended. The revenues that we have are basically primarily inter-county. We get money from solid waste. We get $2,500 from the room tax, which is part of, because we make significant efforts in collection of the room tax. And we get some money from finance because we handle the foreclosures. And, of course, the solid waste, which we spend a significant amount of time on. We have, as you know, an independent budget supported by the solid waste fee. So that means that a small bit, it's $25,000 a year of our budget, comes out of the solid waste fee as opposed to the tax. The full-time equivalents are the same that they've been for many years. We had, at one time, we had two attorneys and a half-time attorney plus two paralegals, so we were up to 4.50 at one point. The last few years, we've been down to 3.50, and that's remained pretty steady. Again, this is the OTR. Which I already mentioned, it's just to maintain the current necessary books. Over the years, we've eliminated books. We used to have a lot more, but there are just a few essential books, and online legal research is an essential. That's the end of the slides. I don't really have any more. I know that other county department heads have been talking about potential significant changes. I don't really see any. They have been talking about changing the age of juvenile delinquents to increase it from its current 16 to 18. That is likely to occur, and it could have a significant effect on our budget, but it's not going to occur in the next couple of years. It's unclear what will occur, whether they'll change the age to 17 or 18, or what time period. But that's an issue that we'll deal with when we get to it. It could have a significant budgetary effect, but it's not going to be in this year or this coming year.
Questions, please. Mike.
I ask this question every year, and I always forget. The updates of the county proceedings and the maintenance of that, is that still in your budget, or did we put that in Kathy Covert's budget?
is in my budget. Now we've had certain things which, for example, when we updated the redistricting, that was a separate allotment which was put in the budget. As you know, you're going to be head of the group which is going to oversee the county charter.
I don't know that.
No, I thought you were.
Congratulations.
Maybe you're not. I have in the past, and I might be a candidate for that, but
okay.
It hasn't been decided.
Well, I assumed. Well, at least there's supposed to be a county charter review committee sometime later in this year, and that would have, and when that comes up, and I don't know whether the charter will actually be changed in the coming year, but if there are significant changes to the charter, that would require some extra money to change the code and charter, and so at that time we'd probably ask for more money, but I think it's premature to do that.
Frank?
Thanks, Jim. Jonathan, can you say something about how your office works with Jackie Kipola in contract review?
Sure. And that's actually changed somewhat during the period of this past couple of years. As you know, contracts they're sort of a joint responsibility of the county attorney's office and administration. Jackie Kipola, the contracts administrator, as well as the risk manager, sits in administration. But they're really joint tasks. We work on them together. Jackie's in my office every day going over contracts and risk management issues. There was a period of time, because Jackie was out, that we were doing the more work on the contracts, and that we were getting money from administration to do that. Now that Jackie's back full time, she's taken back over those responsibilities, meaning the administrative work on the contracts. But still going over both the contracts as well as the risk management is really a joint effort between the departments. And Jackie is currently an employee of administration because she has some other duties as well.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Thank you very much, Jonathan. Highway Division, in your big book, it's Section 4, 185. And Jeff is here, ready to go.
While he's settling in, on our summary sheet, section 2, page 2.
What?
On section 2, page 2, with the summary of the 2014 budget, the highway division is listed as having zero target. Is there a correction to that?
No, that it's actually, that would be found in the interfund transfer. It's a transfer. So the way that New York State allocates resources, there's a general fund, but there's also a highway fund, so there's separate funds. The general fund is called the A fund, highway is called the D fund, so we fund the D fund. So if you look at your inner fund distribution, let me get to the page for you. Section 4, page 224. That's the contribution to the D fund, and that's the amount of money we give to highway from our general fund balance, from our budget.
Okay, we're ready. Take that one over, Carol. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hello, everyone. How's it going tonight? This is the 2014 highway budget. Kind of liked how Jonathan put that. I don't know that there's a lot of significant things to talk about. There's, I do feel the two columns to draw attention to in this slide are the last two columns in the change. It's a little confusing at first glance with the two negative signs, but in essence, I'm asking for $45,000 less. But on the revenue side, I'm actually receiving $92,000 less, which forces at net local cost, which is the important number in these budgets, of $47,000, showing a little bit less than a 1% increase to that net local line. The major influences that kind of caused the shift in funds are, last winter it was a slightly higher, it was still on the mild side, but much more severe than the year before, a higher cost of snow and ice control, and that caused a slight decrease in the maintenance funding. I'm finding that I'm able to, within the highway budget, if there's mild winters or slight increases back and forth, I can keep that balanced between our maintenance costs and our road construction side with our snow and ice side that we pay out to the town for that snow and ice maintenance on our roads. I do caution, in the event we did have a severe winter, that there would be a major influence and that I wouldn't want to detract too much from our road maintenance to cover the extra cost in the snow and ice. But as long as we have these fairly nice winters, the highway improvement program, also more commonly referred to as CHIPS, that came in, and that is helping to balance that snow and ice extra cost. Next slide, I'm showing some of our equipment that we're looking to purchase in the coming year. Just to go down through it really quick, I can page back if anyone has any questions. We're looking to replace a 2004 Chevy van, replace a 1998 single axle dump truck, replace a 2004 Miller portable welder. We're also looking to replace it's about a 20-ton large machine excavator, and that's in the year 2000. We're looking to acquire new, something that we haven't had in our fleet, a solar LED message board to help us with getting the word out to the public about projects and things like that. We presently use a sandwich board or a pizza shop board that does work well. It's not lit up. It only shows during the day, but we will continue to use that, and this will give us another avenue to advertise, get our message out. And we're also looking to acquire what they call a mini excavator. It's about 3.5 tons in weight. What we've seen in the last few years is that this piece of equipment is very useful. We've gotten into areas that it requires a machine of this size, and we're at this time forced to rent it, and we're renting it enough that it really does justify the purchase of a machine, and it's fitting within our normal allocation of procuring equipment. The next slide, I'm showing a little highway budget history back to 2010. The thing I noticed here mostly that I'd like to draw attention to is the 2 years of 2013 and 2014, and I'm really trying to keep that blue column with minimal change, and I think that this budget does accomplish that. I have some commodity information here: salt, hot asphalt, and gas diesel. As you can see, our salt prices, for the most part, remain the same. In 2011 and 2012, they were actually 2012 and 2013, they were identical. that 2013 year is actually what we'll be buying next year as well. It is that purchase price does hold till 2014. And so the salt is staying relatively the same. As you can see, asphalt continues to rise. The oil prices, I think, are driving that. Gas and diesel are also rising slightly over the last few years, and we anticipate that to continue. The next slide is kind of a showing a plan of action for next year, although it's a proposed highway project list. This list of about 19 miles of road is broken out into a cost of about $1,263,000 is an estimated price. I really want to point out that, you know, there are many factors that can change, you know, what we actually do on this road, what the actual cost, and actually whether or not we actually end up doing this road. This is a goal. At this time, we are planning on doing all of that, but some of the factors that can happen, our budget, like we're doing right now, including a state budget, also that a lot of this money is tied to that CHIPS account, and if the CHIPS starts falling under some pressures through the state budget negotiations, then sometimes that can change our plans. In the spring, we generally bid out our vendor, our large vendor bid, and that does sometimes have a impact on the amount of work that we can do. And then also sometimes when we get out in the spring and kind of do our road evaluation, other roads can pop up in front of these roads that have fared, you know, quite a bit of damage over the winter or had other issues. I also like to point out that this list does not include the 20-year capital plan highway maintenance projects. We are working on that plan. Some of these roads may fall back into that plan, in which case we would be able to do other roads with using these funds. Our full-time equivalents, that, as you can see by the chart, it's going up three-quarters of a number. It's a part-time administrative position funding. Another interesting slide I created. It's showing some history with our full-time equivalents, and you can see the change over the last 5 years. I think that I wouldn't sit here and say that there's a goal to get back to that 2010 number. I think that responsible growth and looking at, you know, key positions, I would say that the only growth from here out, I would say, would be more of a cessation planning. That's really kind of how I've looked at that. We are at this time at full staffing numbers at the highway department. We have no OTRs. And I want to give some kudos to the facilities for some nice landscaping around the sign on in front of our facility.
Questions? I have Peter, myself, and Carol so far. Frank. Go ahead, Peter. You're up.
Yeah, let's see if I can remember. I had three questions. Let me try to get them out. One is I couldn't understand where the loss of money was, the loss of revenue. That's question number one. Question number two is I was a little bit confused.
You want him to answer number one first?
I was trying to get it out so I won't forget it.
Oh,
but okay, I'll try.
The loss of revenue showed in mostly previous budget. We were funding the Newfield Covered Bridge. We were funding that through our highway funds, and that bridge is going to bid. The money's obligated. So then, because we took it out of our budget, there's no longer that revenue that we would be receiving from the federal government on by doing that work. It's on the front page, if you look at the 2013 to 2014, and I'm talking about the consolidated budget, it shows a loss of about $299,200 from the federal line, and that's mostly from that area.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, you showed a slide of the change in cost of gas and diesel and why does asphalt so big compared to gas and diesel? Is it the same units or what? What is it actually for the four different things?
The actual numbers I actually have written down.
I mean, what I mean by that is it's diesel must be per gallon, I guess, or something like that. Is that right? And gas. But what's asphalt and salt?
It's all in dollars.
Oh, it's all?
It's all in dollars.
Oh, this is total dollars that
total
you spend
dollars
on these.
Per,
okay.
Per gallon of diesel, per ton of asphalt, and per ton of salt.
Okay, so it's gallons or tons. A lot of gallons and a ton, I guess that's why.
I can just really quickly, it's right in front of me here, the average price, and I'll just do the latest numbers for per ton of salt is $36.84. The per ton price of asphalt is $64.31. And the fuel prices for average price for gasoline was $3.36, and diesel was, there's a couple, there's B10, there's B20. I'm saying B10, and it's $3.75 per gallon.
Okay, but which one of these do you actually end up spending more money on per year? Which, is there anyone that dominates, or are they all sort of?
I would say definitely asphalt, because we're paving roads.
Okay.
And those are our biggest price purchases.
Okay, and as I predict, I've forgotten the third question.
Well, I'll come back to you. Kevin, my question was, following up on Carol, she was looking for where the money was located. Have we done it any different this year than we have in the past?
No.
Okay. All right. Carol, you're up.
I'm still trying to understand this, too. Thank you, Jeff. You guys do a great job. I'm trying to answer the question. I'm looking for an answer to the question. How much have we changed over time the last few years? What we've been able to do for our residents in terms of highway? And there are two parts of that, as I understand it. There's what we managed to get in federal and state money. And I see that on the highway budget. You can see how that's changed 2011 to 2013. The federal went down a little bit, and the state stayed about $1.7, and we're expecting about $2 million. But I'm having trouble understanding how we've changed the local dollars. I see three different amounts. There's the interfund transfer listed on the consolidated budget, which is $5.3 million in 2011, $5.2 in 2012, and going up to $6 million. In this year, and then there's the interfund distribution back on any interfund page that you referred me to 224. It looks like we put $3.9 million in 2011, $3.8 million in 2012, $4.2 million we're proposing for this year.
So because,
I'm confused.
Sure. Part of the confusion, and you're totally. I was confused when I started doing this too. Thing is the in addition to the county A fund, general fund, giving money to the D fund, we then also turn around and give money to the DM fund, which is the machinery component of highway. So there's three funds. There's money moving from one to the other to the other. And when you roll up highway, you're also doubling, so that the front page of highway includes that DM fund cost. So the inner fund looks higher than it really is.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so if you want to know how much the county contributes to highway in total, that is section 4, page 224. That is the page that shows how much the county the bottom line, how much the county gives to highway. So highway then turns around and pays the DM fund. And so the roll-up on section 4, page 185, the inter-fund transfer line is higher than it should be because you have to exclude the piece that goes to the DM fund.
It goes simple. The local contribution is the one on 224. So over the past couple of years, in 2012, it was $3.8 million, and we've been able to raise that now to $4.2 million.
All right, so that's the one that was $3.9 million in 2011 and is now $4.2 million.
That's what we raised through
plus,
our levy.
Now, plus, then, is this year, the year that we're able to put some in through the capital?
We're not doing that. There's been kind of a misperception about that. We're not putting any capital money into the operating budget. The operating budget is as described here, and Jeff explained to you the roads that he thinks he'll be able to treat using operating funds. That's here. In addition to that, in the capital plan, there's a plan for, is it $1.2 million?
Yep.
Basically borrowed money to do major projects. That's what you're talking about. It doesn't have a specific road name or a bridge name on it. It's more of a generic commitment to invest $1.2 million in capital dollars in additional road projects.
That we didn't used to do.
Well, I look at it this way. In the past, we put names on all the capital projects. It was Boswick Road. It was a certain bridge. It was whatever. And the approach that was taken in the 20-year plan is to make more generic allocations to road and bridge work. So instead of having specific project names, again, it's I believe, a $1.2 million commitment for road improvements in 2014 that we will borrow for larger projects.
So the answer to my original question is we're doing, managing to do about, what, I don't know, $1.5 million more than we used to be able to do, like in 2011 total.
Well, again, I don't know that I would say that. Because when we did things back in 2011 and 2012, we would come to you for a bond resolution, and it would have a specific project name on it, a road or a bridge. And in the future, we'll do the same kind of thing. You'll know where the money is being spent. But for the purposes of the capital plan and for the purposes of budgeting for capital for next year, it's just a more generic $1.2 million allocation. So we've always been spending capital money on road projects, as we will in 2014. The amount we expect to spend is $1.2 million to keep our capital plan balanced. Those are major projects, and those are in addition to what Jeff described to you as a part of his ongoing operating budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Frank, Peter, and Brian.
Thanks, Jim.
And Mike.
Unlike Peter, I wrote my questions down, so you're stuck, Jeff. And I have four, but I first want to thank you for helping us out on that speed situation and safety situation on Whitechurch Road. That was very helpful. Thanks. On the slides, just a suggestion, the LED message board, I don't know if you've checked this out already, but I believe NYSERDA has a grant program that would permit you to apply for something through there because it's using solar. And you might be able to pick up a grant to cover that $15,000 cost or part of it. Might be worthwhile. And Kevin is good at bird dogging that stuff.
Good. Great. Thanks, Kevin.
A question about our stop signs or our yield signs or whatever. Lately, I've noticed that on the legs, there's red reflective tape on those.
Yep.
Is that going to become a standard practice when you replace them?
It's more so on the ones that we want to bring additional attention to. Maybe have had some comments or concerns with people calling and saying certain things about the stop sign. It was maybe shorter visibility distance or something. Generally, that's where they're going to be used. I don't know that they're actually going to be a standard, but they are in the MUTCD as a reasonable additional tool to use.
Are the legs all reflective, or is it actually taped?
If you can picture the shape of a signpost, it's actually a piece of plastic that pops in there.
Oh.
It's an additional thing. You could put it on any signpost. It's not a special signpost. It's a standard signpost, and then there's an additional piece of reflective. There's tape on plastic that would pop in there that's the right width.
So this is not driving your budget over the top, right?
No, not as yet. But they're not on all of them either.
I think it's a big break.
Yeah, it does draw attention.
Third one, sharing equipment. Several years ago, we had a program where the piece of equipment I remember us looking at was a piece of road paving equipment. And not every municipality could afford a piece of road paving equipment. And the county got into a sharing program with our municipalities. First, are we still doing that? And this was to save money on that consolidation idea of sharing.
The answer is yes, we are sharing equipment, and it's not limited to just the paver. I think you might be referring to it's really across the board as to what we have at our disposal to use. But the one caveat to that is that we have to get our work done first. So it's based on availability, but we do quite often work with the towns. They work with us also. What they have a lot that can help us is with their trucks. Therefore, we're really balancing out sharing that municipal sharing. They quite often on a daily basis are supplying trucks to haul material for us to different work sites and different activities. We're doing maybe some paving or some excavation. Quite often we will put the shoulders on the road, place the gravel shoulders on their road using our machine, that sort of thing. It's an ongoing thing.
So, and there's generally no exchange of cash in something like that. It's like building up credits and keeping, it's like a bookkeeping.
That's correct.
You were helpful to the state, I know, of the Mecklenburg Road in particular. Are you part of Lee Shurtleff's emergency planning project?
I am getting involved in that, yes. I will be. A highway is always going to be involved in some of that stuff, yeah.
Well, from a mobilization standpoint,
yeah.
As long as we have that equipment. Last other question is up in Jim's neck of the woods, South Street. I notice in the capital budget, we have money budgeted beginning in 2015 for that project. I'm not good enough with your entire budget to figure out if there's any budgeted money in the on the operating side. But I know in soil and water, Pat and I have been talking with those folks about participating with Highway to do something on South Street. Please tell us that we're not waiting until 2015 to do something on that stretch of creek and road up there.
At this time, number one, we're monitoring it very closely. We're very aware of the possibility of the problems we could have on that stretch of river, and some of those residences and the roads are threatened, could possibly be threatened. We have worked with soil and water and planning. Barton and LeJudis is the consultant that was hired through planning, and they just recently provided a design. I don't want to say it's a final design. It might have been a preliminary design. I truthfully have not opened it. I just got it a few days ago. It came from Scott Doyle, and I'm trying to give you the indication that we are working on it. It is going through. What we did up front to save costs is we used some of soil and water personnel, some of their surveying equipment, and some of our personnel. And in areas of the design and the preliminary mapping and whatnot that needed to go into the the mapping of the design, we provided that those portions so that any of the monies that planning had to appropriate in that direction went very specifically to design. The thought is also is that with recent announcements of some funding initiatives, one of them is Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, and then there's one other one. There are two right now that we are applying to get more money so that we can utilize those funds. The Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, we submitted a notice of intent initial application. That was approved, and I want to say it's the end of this month that the final application has to be submitted. It is a federal program, so we don't know where to ask questions to, but we are going to continue with the application.
Thanks.
Okay, let me just make comment on that. Since it is in the town of Ulysses in the village of Trumansburg, we are very concerned about that. The residents are very concerned about that, and because we do not want to be the Grand Canyon of the East there. As that's moving along. So, Peter, you're next.
Okay, just a very brief statement and then a question. And the statement is, having lived in my previous life with a lot of organizations that lived or died by the grant process and knowing how stressful and difficult the environment that is to work in, I just wanted to say I'm impressed with the agility that you put into it, namely being able to deal with whatever the grant program is good. If they won't give you this one, then there's that one that you can apply for immediately. And that seems, I was impressed by looking at that process. So, and the question I have is, I've been listening to these presentations now. This is my fourth year that I've heard these. And in the first one, and I also think the second one, I had the sense that the highway department was not in a sustainable mode. And what I mean by that is that if they went on spending the same amount of money every year, we'd end up with roads that would not be acceptable to us. And my question is bluntly, are we still in that situation, or are we in a sustainable situation where if we keep doing the same thing, 10 years from now, our roads will be in an acceptable position as they are now, okay?
And my answer to that, and it's similar to that question that you asked me last year, that was equally difficult to answer, there's a few things going on right now at the highway department that are going to help me answer that in the very near future. But one thing is for certain is that the capital monies that are allocated, that $1.2 million that we're talking about, and then the fact that that is a sustainable number and it's going to increase every 5 years is going to help immensely. What I want to say is that in last year's budget, we invested in a cartograph software program that is supposed to help us with making those decisions and being able to look at that sustainability and know that when there are troubled times and there are cuts to our budget, we're going to be able to see what impact that is going to cause in the long range and also maybe what it would take to get back to that sustainability number. We are to go a step further with that in our cartograph program. We did get a later start this year. We have gone through a few weeks of training with staff. There's a lot of front-end work with collection of data, and we are working on that. We're going to, as things hopefully settle down a little bit from the summer projects and some of the large storms that we've had, we're going to be able to really attribute a lot of energy in that direction and really start to be able to produce some good data with the cartograph system and with our infrastructure in itself, and then we'll be able to answer that in a very meaningful way.
That sounds good. Just a very short question. Cartograph sounds like a heart disease plot or something like that.
Most of us in the department call it cardiograph.
Why is it called that?
I don't know. That's the name.
All right.
That's the company
okay.
name.
I have Brian and then Mike.
Thanks, Jim. Jeff, if you could go back to that map, and I'll preface my question by saying it. A lot of times I think I have a grasp on things and still until questions start getting asked, and then all of a sudden I don't. But as, generally, the roadways that you have there proposed for next year, generally they would be paid for by levy money or CHIPS money, the combination of the two?
Yes.
Okay. And capital, I do see in my district, I see one thing up there that would fall under capital. And I thought I heard you say, and we're looking way up in the corner at Groton City Road because there's a bridge that needs to be replaced. And if that were to fall into the capital projects, the question that was asked was that we will have an additional $1.2 million next year towards capital projects. But that doesn't mean that we will do $1.2 million worth of capital projects. We may do many millions more than that because that money goes towards the debt service for the capital projects.
I understand the question. I don't know. We have to be awarded those projects, mm-hmm. like through the ITCTC. You're talking about our local share of mm-hmm. being able to capture funds. Sometimes some of the state shares, they're a little bit, they don't want to contribute that 15%. So sometimes they're actually up to 20% of the total cost of the project. That is correct. I've heard different things. I don't know if Joe could help us with that a little bit, but I know I've had this conversation and I've asked this question. Is some of that capital money planned to take into account the local share of federal aid projects, or is it for my maintenance funds only? I think the answer is that, yes, it is going to be used for that local share of capital projects.
Okay. You said something, and I'm going to stick right with the same example that I just used. The Groton City Road. I think I heard you say, now there's a little tiny stretch of that road that you have proposed for, you know, road maintenance. However, if you do the capital project on the bridge, you may be able to fold that in with the larger capital project?
This map is showing local money and CHIPS, and it's only for really road construction.
Okay.
The bridge capital project is actually on the capital plan as Groton City Road Bridge. And that's funded, I think, in 2015.
Okay. So as you're doing that, you're actually working with two different things.
In that way, right.
Okay.
The road does extend on the other side of the road. And, you know, that, like I said, this is a preliminary plan that was brought up to...
Yep. No, I understand. I thought I understood it all until about 15 minutes ago.
Let me try to confuse you further.
Do it. Please.
I'm really good at it. I called this a beige page the other night. If you look at section 3, page 2, but look at the revised page, you all told me it was gray, not beige. So it's section 3, page 2. And if you look at the chart on the top half of the page, you see where I am?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go down toward the bottom, like the third row from the bottom, you can see road reconstruction. And it's a flat $1.2 million a year in each of the 5 years that are shown here. Right? And it looks like in the run out of this chart, there are still some specific projects that are referenced. Groton City Road Bridge is one. So, again, this is the capital plan that was presented some time ago. So the $1.2 million that we've been talking about this evening is a commitment to road, to major road improvements over that five-year period of time. Okay? So that's in addition to what's in his operating budget. So he's got money to pave and that kind of stuff. And you're right, it's largely CHIP funded. There are some other local dollars in there. But in addition to the specific projects that are listed on this page as capital projects, there's a $1.2 million annual commitment to major road reconstruction. Jeff is right in saying it could be any number of things. If we had another Hanshaw Road, for example, $5, $6 million project, maybe there was a local match of a few hundred thousand dollars, it would have to come within this $1.2 million allocation. Mm-hmm. It's really meant to be to reflect our commitment to major road work over that five-year period of time. So it's a little frustrating because you don't see a Hanshaw Road name on that amount of money. But suffice it to say, it's what we are kind of committing to spend on major road work. And the important thing for tonight is that's in addition to that ongoing paving kind of stuff that's in the operating budget.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thanks. Mike.
Jeff, I'm from Dryden, and where a third of our bridges are located, so I always worry about our bridges. And we used to, because there's a little over 100 bridges in the county, we used to say the rule of thumb ought to be two bridges a year. And I wondered where we are on that schedule. What bridges are we going to build in 2014? Are we keeping up with that schedule? Are we behind? We try to have what we call the bridge on the shelf, which was a plan ready in case a problem or a glitch came through with a grant from the state or the federal government. We could, for one particular bridge, we could pull out another bridge and try to do it that year. Wondered where we are with our bridges.
Presently, our bridge program, we are working on for next year construction would be the Newfield Covered Bridge, the Waterberg Bridge, the Game Farm Road Bridge should be possibly going next year or 2015. That's really where we're at right now. I know there's a list of bridges that are on the slate and working our way, you know, into those other phases. I know Dodge Road Bridge is one of them in poor condition, and we'll be looking at to do something on very, very soon. We have submitted several applications to the state looking for bridge monies on three different bridges, and we were literally told that we would have an answer in 2 weeks for every 2 weeks for the last 6 months. Those bridges are the Red Mill Road Bridge, the Groton City Road Bridge, and the Salmon Creek Bridge. I think it's Salmon Creek Road over Salmon Creek in Lansing. Those are three bridges that we submitted to the state. They were all approved, and they went to Albany for that was a statewide prioritization, and we have not heard anything on that. So we do have bridges that we're working on, and we are looking to secure funds when it become available. And we certainly two bridges a year is an important goal. I do agree with that.
So we just keep our fingers crossed, I guess. See if the money comes through from the state. And if it doesn't, what do we do?
We're going to have to evaluate our priorities and shift some of the funding that we have from roads into the bridges, which is something that we've talked about.
Thank you.
Yep.
Pat Pryor.
Do you have a list of those bridges that are someplace in the works that you just mentioned that you could send to us so we could get a look at them? The one I'm particularly concerned about, I spoke to you about several months ago. I don't think it's called the Salmon Creek Bridge. It's in Ludlowville, but I think it's called the Doug Road Bridge. It's the one that they can't get the fire trucks to, and people are, you know.
Yes, it was the Doug Road Bridge, and it was is it a one-way bridge or a one?
It's a single lane.
It's down in Ludlowville.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Is that on your list someplace?
That is on. They're all on the list of to maintain and to keep open. That we will be keeping them open, but I'm not sure where it falls on a replacement schedule.
So, is there something you could send to us that would identify the bridge and what its status is in terms of your planning for it?
Yes, I could.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up I have WIB and followed by Workforce Investment. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, WIB and One Stop Center. So they're both there. Welcome. Let me just mention, and you all see it on your sheet, for Section 4393 for WIB, Section 4397 for the One Stop Center. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. We are very excited to present our budget and provide you an update on our activities and goals for 2014. And I'd like to just say thank you for the leftover furniture from your move. We've been able to reuse it at the One Stop Center for several of the staff, and we love it, actually. Thanks. All right, so what we're going to do is I'm going to start out talking about the Workforce Investment Board budget and some of our goals and activities for 2014. And then Diane's going to be speaking about her budget. So this is the Workforce Investment Board budget for information on our expenditures and revenues for 2014. I want to just really quickly explain the negative $151,328. More than, actually almost half of the Workforce Investment Board budget tends to be grants that come through the board that we use for contractual services. For outside agencies for services at the One Stop Center. For the past 3 years, we've had a federal through the state grant called the Disability Employment Initiative. We are finishing up the December 2013 is the that grant will be sundowning, and that is why you're seeing a decrease in our budget. That was for the Disability Employment Initiative. Let me mention that we have had three staff at the Career Center with the focused on providing services to customers with disabilities and also assisting them with figuring out methods to get off of Social Security disability and Social Security or supplemental security income. We will still have staff at the One Stop Center. We are focused on that, and we are currently looking at some state grant match opportunities, as well as some revenue based upon our ability to get individuals off of Social Security disability and supplemental security income. So I just wanted to point that out to you why you're seeing that decrease. That is strictly grant funding that we no longer have. This is the full-time equivalents at the Workforce Investment Board office. As you can see, it stayed the same for a very long time. I actually think we're going all the way back to 2005, 2006, that we've had 1.85 full-time equivalents. We have no over-target requests as part of our budget. And I'm going to let Diane go through her budget, and then we'll talk about goals and activities in 2014.
Okay. That was fairly simple. Hopefully mine won't be as confusing. There is an expenditure and revenue difference of $118,000, and I just wanted to bring to your attention that that's an increase because of Trade Act. TRADE Act is the federal program for laid off for employees that can go back for training. It's only when we have revenues can we use the funding for expenses. So it really becomes a wash in the budget, but we have to account for it. The other piece of that is the NEG OJT, the National Emergency Grant OJT on-the-job training. We've had an increase in our availability to be able to provide direct training and education to employees that have been laid off through that program. And it's been employers who have taken the opportunity to hire individuals with a little bit of training and so on to become full-time employees, and that's worked very well. So that's the difference with our budget numbers. And then full-time equivalents, we again have stayed the same. Because we're a partnership and we have 21 staff in the one-stop center, there's been other partner staff that have come and gone and grants that have come and gone, and we've been fairly flexible. But as far as the county full-time equivalents, we've remained the same. And then as far as over-target requests, we have none at this time. So I want to talk for just a minute about some of the major influences on our budget. We are predominantly federally funded with Federal Workforce Investment Act funds, and that act also drives the guidelines that we have for that funding and is the law that governs most of what we do both at the One Stop Center and at the Workforce Investment Board. So just really quickly, some of our influences. Clearly, the unemployment rate tends to influence the traffic that we see at the Tompkins Workforce New York Career Center. Last year, 7.0, it's going down. It's at 5.7. So we have seen a slight decrease in the number of customers accessing our services. I'm actually going to mention that number in just a minute. The other thing that has been part of our influence is extensions of unemployment insurance. I think most of you know those extensions are gone. We are seeing, continue to see a number of individuals who are long-term unemployed have now dropped off of that unemployment rolls and are still coming in and attempting to access our services. Diane mentioned that we have been able to use the National Emergency Grant for a National Emergency Grant for on-the-job training, and that has been specifically targeted to individuals who've been unemployed for 27 weeks or more so that we can provide specific targeted services to help those individuals with getting back to work. Some of our other influences are any business openings, expansions, and closings in our planning over the next couple of years. You'll see Diane will be speaking a little bit about the Hospitality Employment and Training Program Initiative. One of the areas that we're seeing openings and expansions is in the local hotel, hospitality, and lodging industry. So we've been doing some planning with local groups around providing services and training people for those positions. Other influences around our ability to access those on-the-job training funds as well as Federal TRADE Act funds to train folks who've been laid off and downsized from particular types of companies. So 2014 goals and plans. The Workforce Investment Board and in partnership with TCAD is going to be working with the Society for Human Resource Managers in Tompkins County to again do a salary survey. So that will be something that we'll be embarking on in 2014. We will also be focusing on the goals, continuing to focus on the goals and the workforce strategy. Just to remind you of some of those goals, increase the number of work-ready, basic-skilled workers. So let me back up and mention that all of the activities that we perform at the WIB and the One Stop Center are in support of those goals and attempting to work to meet those goals or to further assist us in meeting those goals.
So retain and attract more young adults, and we do that in partnership with many local entities. Prepare for the wave of baby boomer retirements. We know that the economic downturn changed the way that people worked, and there are individuals who made the decision not to retire. But we know as things have been getting better, we're seeing some increased retirements. And we want to be able to help companies to prepare for large numbers of individuals leaving their workforce. And making sure that there are people who've been trained to move into those positions and that they are able to get the number of employees that they need to grow and prosper. Other goals in terms of the workforce strategy is to facilitate and enable the recruitment of workers for specialized occupations. I think you probably all know that occasionally you see articles in the paper about companies that say, I don't understand, there are so many people, or we have positions open and there are so many people out there not working. And frequently it's because companies have a hard time recruiting for very specialized occupations. And it tends to be at times those are the types of positions that help businesses grow and prosper. So we will continue to focus on helping companies with recruiting for some of those specialized occupations. And then, as always, our training is focused on those occupations as well. Additional goals, reduce unemployment, and it's our accompanying underuse of talent, and our activities are always focused on moving people up the career ladder and making sure that we're fully assisting people in fully utilizing that educational background and skills that they have. And then, again, our sixth goal in the workforce strategy is to increase our capacity to manage near-term challenges and opportunities. That was put into our strategy at the very end of creating it when the economic downturn happened and we found ourselves with an extra 2,000 people a year coming into the one-stop center and no real increases at that time in staffing and activities, so our strategies had to substantially change. We want to make sure that we are better prepared in the future for those types of economic downturns, challenges, and any opportunities that come along. In addition to the goals in the workforce strategy, we're placing an increased emphasis in 2014 on making sure individuals have information for career decision making. One of the committees of the Workforce Investment Board is our Youth Employment Council, and we're lucky enough to have Amy Hendricks chairing that committee. She sits on the Workforce Investment Board and is currently chairing our Youth Employment Council. The Youth Council has split into three different subcommittees that are very focused on two of them are very focused on making sure that individuals have the information they need for career decision making. We have two pilots at Newfield Central School where we're going to be doing a career night. We're calling it a business and industry night in November where our goal is, you know, many school districts have your financial aid night where you learn about how to apply for financial aid for seniors. They have college admissions night where you learn about that process. We're concerned that before any of that occurs, we need a career information night. We need young people to know where do we see the opportunities for employment in our local area and in our regional area in the next 5 to 10 years. If we want to keep our young people here, we need them to know what the opportunities are here because, unfortunately, they don't always see their own backyard as a place where there are valid career opportunities. So we're focused on making sure that young people have the information on what the opportunities are, how much they could expect to make, and that they're thinking through what lifestyle do they want to have and how much income will they need to make in order to make those decisions.
And so that's an increased emphasis on that, having that information for career decision making. We're also focusing on providing that information directly to both elementary school, all three, elementary, middle, and high school teachers, so that teachers can also be providing that information and pushing that information into their activities in the classroom. In 2014, to go on to the next one, we will be looking at opportunities to provide training directly to the current employees of businesses. So we'll be looking to access additional funding to focus on how can we help businesses to upgrade the skills of their workers and also diversifying our funding sources. I want to take an opportunity since I'm talking about diversifying funding, just to talk for a minute about the federal shutdown and the impact of the federal shutdown on our operations. I've had conversations with Joe. Currently, our funding cycle from the federal government is actually July 1 through June 30th. And so our funding year is a little different than the actual federal year. So part of our programs are forward funded in the federal budget, and we already have authority to expend those funds. So we had first quarter funding. We are living right now off of first quarter funding as well as carry-in funding into July 1st. I've had conversations with Joe, and we believe we have funding available through probably about the middle of November. At that point, we'll be having additional conversations with Joe about whether or not the county continues to or the county provides us resources to continue to operate and takes the chance that any federal funding will be backdated to October 1. So we'll be having that conversation with Joe ongoing. It hasn't affected our operations yet, but it will if we go too much further. I won't say the same for my colleagues across the rest of the state. There's newspaper articles about career centers closing Workforce Investment Boards shutting their doors. The first one I heard about was 36 staff laid off at the One Stop Center in downtown Buffalo. We see 2,500 people a year. If we see 2,500 a year, they must see 25,000 people a year, and they're closed. And so there are definitely impacts being felt right now as it relates to the federal funding. And I knew that was going to be a question someone was going to ask me. So I'm sorry, I've taken up a lot of time. Diane, do you want to speak a little bit about some of the other goals and plans?
So the One Stop Center helps the WIB really generate a lot of activities and help to meet some of those federal, state, and local performance measures through the activities that we do. This past year, from 7/1/12 to 6/30/13, we averaged 2,400 customers that we saw in addition to the green sheet. So the green sheet is a variety of different projects and collaborations that we've been involved with in the community to help meet those goals, but also to do the outreach outside of the center and then to really engage other communities into some of the activities that we do. Another item that we've shared on a regular basis has been average earnings of the individuals who have left the center and received employment and then also retained the employment. That's a pretty high number of dollars that come back into the local economy because people have jobs. The second goal for the One Stop Center in particular is to continue with the training initiatives. We've mentioned OJTs and the Trade Act. An awful lot of people are being involved directly in getting jobs through their training opportunities, and it's also helping us match some of the mismatch of skill sets and knowledge that exist out there. We're doing an awful lot of business recruitment. We have 2 to 3 businesses at the One Stop Center on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, to do recruitment and also to help us learn about their needs and to plan accordingly. And just recently, this past year, we got much more actively engaged with the Society for Human Resource Management, SHRM, and to be able to provide a lot of the managers and supervisors with the training information and answers to questions that they may have. A lot of questions come up about the recession, about layoffs, about moving forward, about succession planning, about baby boomers coming back into the workforce and so on. And with that partnership and with the help of the chamber, we're able to actually resolve a lot of those questions. So the next page is really just the third page and highlights again some of the acronyms that have been confusing in the past, so we decided to go ahead and do the handout, which describes a lot of the activities and collaborations and partnerships that we've been actively engaged with or involved with. Some of these come with just bodies to help the initiative, and some of this comes with shared funding from a variety of different sources. So I'd be open to questions and so on, but I thought it might be helpful.
Hands, please. I have myself down. Has anyone got questions? Want to ask one? I want to ask Kevin and Joe. I learned something every year, and I looked at the Workforce One-Stop Center, Net Local Zero, and I looked at WIB and Net Local Zero. There must be other money involved there somewhere. Can you talk about that, Kevin?
Sure. Again, this is another general fund to our community development fund, CD fund. We do contribute a small amount of money, a very small part of their budget, each of their budgets, from the A fund. So it's another inter-fund distribution page, section 4, page 223. It's $125,571. So while it looks like net local zero, that's because it's within their fund. They get an interfund transfer from us. So they have a revenue called interfund transfer line. The sum of those two interfund transfer lines is the same as on our A fund side.
Mike, you had your hand up?
Yes.
And then Will.
I really liked your initiative in the schools to talk to young people. I think that's innovative and a great idea. I never cease to be amazed by the people, young people who go south, North Carolina, Florida, for jobs, who end up getting jobs that they could have gotten here. And maybe that's the better weather they like, but I don't really think a lot of them are leaving because there are not jobs available. Some do, of course. And I think getting the word out is a great idea. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Good, Mike. I like it. Will.
Do you want me to respond?
Oh, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. I obviously, we agree with you on this, and I just want to mention just real quickly that I think it's a combination of a couple of different things. I think young people, by their nature, think it's always better someplace else. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's how do we target those young people when they become disillusioned or they get a little older and want to settle down and maybe end up with children? How do we get them back? And really, I think that's an area of focus because I don't think we're going to change the pattern of young people. But I also think that we need to do a much better job of letting them know there are actually good job opportunities in upstate New York.
Will.
Thank you, Jim. Julie, I apologize. I arrived a little bit late, and I was puzzled when I looked at it and saw the significant reduction in your target. And I'm sure you talked about that, but if you could just point me, because I wasn't finding it in the document, where will I find the explanation?
I did provide just a real quick explanation. That is funding that we had, a three-year grant that is ending in at the end of December. It's the Disability Employment Initiative, and it was for funding for three staff we contracted with Challenge Industries at the Career Center. We are looking now at other funding opportunities and also looking at challenges. We'll also be providing a significant portion of funding for keeping that staff at the One Stop Center after January 1st.
I'm glad to hear that. And second question, I'm it's good that you are essentially funded for the first quarter. I know that in past with other programs, there have been issues where this process called rescission, where basically they took back money that you've already spent. Is there any history of that happening in your realm?
Absolutely. That's happened to us twice that I can think of over the last, 10 years. It has happened twice. At the federal level, anytime they cut funding for workforce development, it's a bad thing. The question is, when it gets to the local level, what will the actual rescission look like? And both times at the local level, the actual rescission was not a significant amount of money when it actually fell down to the local level. The first time that it occurred, it was a little more money, and the state actually covered that rescission with their own Workforce Investment Act set-aside funding so that local areas wouldn't be hit as hard. And that we're going back a while on that one. I'm not sure the state would do the same today.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you very much. Up next is Youth Services. It is Section 4421. No, I'm sorry, Section 4403. They have 5 OTRs. They received funding for 2. 3 were denied. And here we go with Amy is here, and we will have at it.
Okay, thank you. So we'll start with the Youth Services Department funding, and then we'll move into the Recreation Partnership. Just so you know and are aware, there are some graphics that may cover up your printed PowerPoint. If that's the case and you'd like one without the graphics, I can do that for you separately. So I wanted just to begin by reaffirming our mission, which is to invest time, resources, and funding in communities to enable all youth to thrive in school, work, and life. So it's a pretty broad goal, especially when we define youth by the 0 to 24 population. This is the pyramid that many of you have seen multiple times in different colors. This is the pyramid that we base our work off of, starting at the bottom with universal prevention and recreation, moving into early intervention and youth development, on to targeted intervention, and then finally to treatment and residential placement. And the idea behind this pyramid is that as youth move up the pyramid, the programs and services become more costly, serve fewer youth, and it's much more targeted as they move up. So universal recreation or prevention is the beginning, and then it moves up through. This is our 2012 numbers on our youth served in each of the different categories of the pyramid. So starting with prevention, recreation, youth development, and targeted intervention. And this is one of the slides that'll have something come across it. So there's 7,402 youth served. When we look at our targeted population, that's about a quarter of the total youth in our county that these programs are targeting and serving. Here is the recommended budget. And you'll see some difference in revenue. That has to do with New York State Office of Children and Family Services, where we receive our funding. Through the Office of Youth Development, we're a little unsure on how that funding is going to flow. They revised how they'll be doing that in 2014, but we have not received any word at this point on how that will actually happen. So this is our estimation based on some of those conversations. So I thought it would be easiest to share how we provide our budget and build our budget with our Resource Allocation Committee and our Youth Services Board. And we think of our budget internally as a bucket approach, and there's different buckets of funding and programs and services that go along with that. So the first bucket, I would say, is our grant funding. And that's through the Drug-Free Communities Grant, is the largest, which is a federal grant, and it supports the work of the Community Coalition for Healthy Youth. Now, this was a 10-year grant. The cycle actually will end September 30th of 2014. And some of the work that that supports is the biannual youth development survey, that survey that goes to every high school student, well, high school and middle school student in Tompkins County. This supports a portion of that. The schools actually contribute as well. The Above the Influence campaign, which is actually a national campaign that locally here we've taken on, and we're asked to be part of a federal partnership to bring that here before it reached other communities. The Sticker Shock campaign, which has it's primarily in Shermansburg around grassroots, and it's placing stickers on beer for prevention efforts. Social norming campaigns in DeWitt and Shermansburg, where they talk to middle school students about how many youth are really drinking, bullying, those kinds of things. So the idea behind social norming is that young people believe everyone's doing it, so they are more likely to participate. But when we look at the data, not everyone's doing it, so it highlights that, you know, 70%, just using that number, don't quote me, but, you know, 70% are not participating in this activity. There's actually more not doing the bad behavior. And also the pharmaceutical return program. So they were instrumental working on the medication drop box and bringing them into our community. And additionally, we brought in the Drug-Free Communities Mentoring Grant to collaborate with Schuyler County. As we look at our DFC grant ending, how can we continue that collaboration across Schuyler County? And we brought some funding in 2013 to do that for 2 years from the federal level. So our second pocket of money or bucket of money is our municipal funding, and the Municipal Youth Service System falls under that. And that's available funding for youth development in the municipalities throughout Tompkins County, so all municipalities are eligible for that. 70-plus volunteers on youth planning groups that help devise how this funding is spent. Over 2,000 youth served annually. Our major program provider for the Rural Youth Services component is the Rural Youth Services Program through Cooperative Extension. And how the funding works for the Municipal Youth Service System is it's primarily municipal funding, so there's county dollars and then municipal matches that make this occur. In 2013, we studied the system to really look at what the needs were, what the priorities were of the system, and how was the system operating. From that, we found that there was a high need of employment skill development and employment opportunities for young people. So some of the same things you are hearing from Julia carry through in this presentation. And then another piece was that there's room for collaboration among for programming in the Ithaca City School District. As we looked at how the program operates in each municipality, those that had a school that was in their municipality were operating more effectively than those that were feeding into one school district. So we're moving to create more collaboration, and we'll talk a little more about that. The third piece is our contracted agencies, and this is our agency services piece. And in 2012, we released our State of Tompkins County Youth Report, and it really set the priorities for our funding. And what I put here is for the limited resources in Tompkins County, not only just funding, but what resources could the Youth Services Department provide and how could we use that more effectively. And so we set those priorities based on the New York State Touchstones, which is an idea that communities that embrace touchstones and goals behind each of the touchstones could really have a more effective way of meeting the needs of their young people. And so the first touchstone area that we used for agency services was really to look at physical and emotional health and making sure children and youth have the optimal physical and emotional health and have a chance and opportunity for that. The second priority was economic security, which the goal around that is really helping youth prepare for their eventual economic self-sufficiency. Priority three was family. And that's looking at families providing children with safe, stable, and supportive environments. Four is citizenship, where the goal for that is children and youth will demonstrate good citizenship as law-abiding, contributing members of their families, their schools, and communities. Five is community, where we look at youth really being a part and a participant in their community and feeling like they're giving back and they belong there. And then the sixth one is education, and that's looking at students leaving school prepared to succeed in life. And the reason we prioritize these, and we're not saying as a department that one is really that much more, but it's looking at our resources and where could we really do the most with our agency support. This led us to really pulling together our resource allocation team and they released a request for funding proposals in 2013. And what that looked at was changing how we contracted with agencies. As a result of our request for proposal, we received initial requests for over $715,000. The resource allocation team really spent a lot of time, and I'm so honored that they worked so hard on this and were so dedicated. And they created the recommendations that went on to the Youth Services Board and the County Administrator and are before you today. And then, there we go. Bucket number four is really our funding for planning and coordination of all of this. And that's the foundation of our Youth Services Department that supports 4.5 FTEs. It organizes the collaborations among different municipalities and contract partners. It's where our runaway and homeless youth coordinator, so we have a state runaway and homeless youth coordinator that sits in that capacity. In the past, Nancy Zook had served that position, and now I'm temporarily filling in on that as we figure out how that goes, although it seems a little more permanent than temporary. So I enjoy it, though, so that's okay. And then liaisons across systems, really looking at juvenile justice, social services, mental health, and health, and making sure that all of those silos are communicating and that we're really working for that optimal health for youth, providing technical assistance and trainings, and then program quality, which is a piece that we're diving more and more into, looking at two new tools and assessments that will be rolling out in 2014. We're hopeful that we'll be rolling all of that out in 2014. And then providing planning services and doing assessments such as the State of Youth Report. So that takes us into our full times equivalents. You'll see that on the last slide it said 4.5 FTEs. 1.5 of those FTEs that add up to the six are actually grant funded. And then our over target requests. The first over target request has to do with that municipal youth service system. And Cooperative Extension is our primary provider in that system. At this point, our program managers are below living wage, and so that over-target request would bring them up. They're funded again by municipalities. In 2013, the municipalities stepped forward and put in a bit more for each of the program managers, but this would bring them to the living wage. The next request that is also supported by the tentative budget is for $30,000 to look at the municipal youth service system and that collaboration among those partners of the Ithaca City School District and helping to expand career readiness opportunities. So through that research that we've done, this would help provide support for those communities to collaborate and also work on the career readiness pieces that were identified. The next one is the over-target request not supported by the tentative budget. And this is actually divided into three different areas due to the fact that we separated this out because it's our use of rollover funding or how we would like to apply rollover funding. The first area, you'll notice there's actually two buckets. It's our grant and also our planning and coordination effort, and it's looking at that countywide youth development survey. The survey is costly, and losing the grant funding next year will mean that the survey may not be able to exist. We're working in partnership with some of the schools and some of the other OASIS providers in the county to bring that together, and so this would enable us to provide some funding to support that, to meet with them in that partnership. The second piece is part of the municipal youth service system. There has been increased need for transportation as we're looking at running a system in the rural communities. Over the past few years, due to the budget reductions in these programs and trying to just maintain efforts, the transportation and the maintenance on the vans and services provided by the vans has gone down. And so this would allow us to increase some of those needed services to make sure that the vans stay safe for the young people and that we're keeping that up to date. And then the third piece is on the agency side. And this is the Advocacy Center, and it's put into this rollover piece because when that resource allocation team really went through all of the funding proposals, they looked at the proposals based on a variety of things, and they felt that some of the agencies, based on all of the different priorities and targets, they needed to fund those agencies in a capacity that was substantial, first based on the priorities, and then they moved down through. And when they came to it, they felt that the advocacy center still needed support, but they didn't have enough funding to do that. And so as they looked at the priorities and how the proposal weighed out, they thought, if nothing else, it gave the advocacy center a continuation year by using the rollover funding. They had been funded in the past, but because it was a new funding cycle, it was a change in how we were doing things. This would give them a continuation year and help them prepare for not having funding in the future if that's what were to happen. And so that's why rollover was applied to that, or requested to apply to that. The other two over-target requests not supported by the tentative budget. The first is for the programmatic expansion of Cornell Cooperative Extension 4-H Urban Outreach Program. And this is an expansion. When we asked agencies to provide what they needed from us through the RFP process based on the priorities, it allowed them to look beyond what they were doing currently. And so this urban outreach program was operating only in the West Village neighborhood. They have now moved to LACS, and they're expanding by taking on more partners and more young people through some high-impact areas. And so this would allow them to not only operate, there is funding in our target budget to allow them to sustain their operations at their current level, but it would allow them the year of 2014 to find new funding and to really increase what they were doing there and allow that to be the transition. And then the final over target is for the one-to-one Big Brothers Big Sisters program. And this is also a result of the priority setting and going through the budget process for the resource allocation team. And what happened with this is the proposal is for quite a bit more, $57,400. And so when looking at that proposal, it was clear that there were two components to what one-to-one Big Brothers Big Sisters does. And one is a city component and one's a countywide component. And so the idea behind this was that as we reexamined how the youth services web worked with all the young people, that part of that component, we could continue to operate the city component because we were also operating a lot of rural programs and we would provide funding for that. But because we were limited, this over target would provide the rest of the county funding. Now, on that, that also means that if there's county matches going into 2014, the matches won't end. They'll continue for the life cycle of their match. But what would happen in 2014 without this over target would that the recruitment would be strictly Ithaca City School or Ithaca City based, not providing for that county component. And this is just a chart showing our 5 years of revenue. The brighter orange, and it's not showing super well up there with the red dot around it, is actually what's recommended right now in the county administrator's budget. And then the purple is what would be recommended with the over targets. One note, and I'm not sure why it didn't come through, on the WIB contract, we actually are bringing in $19,750 for WIB and WIA contract. We've worked really closely as we've started to expand into the youth employment on working together on that. And so we do bring in some revenue there. You can see that we're on a trend progression of revenue decline at this point. The orange line, again, is the recommendation by the county administrator. And then you see the purple line. So if you connected that, it would be a little slightly higher. And that's with the OTRs. And then our 5 years of appropriations, and you can see where we have come from. On the salary and fringe line, I should also note, in 2009, salary and fringe were calculated in a different way. So salary, this is pure salary with no fringe added in because it wasn't part of the departmental budget at that time. And that's that for that piece. So if we want to answer questions and then move on to recreation after, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Let me start. The resource allocation team
yes.
that you spoke of made the recommendations on the OTR. Am I correct when I look at the OTR request for the 20 and the 20,893. Mm-hmm. The 20,000 for cooperative extension was the number two priority. In other words, that's a priority that the RAT team put mm-hmm. on it.
Yes.
And then the one-to-one Big Brothers was a fifth priority.
Yes, that would be correct.
The other question I have, I've received, as well as obviously my colleagues, mail. And it has a colorful graph, green and blue, and it says 85, the city share of the budget, the county share of the budget, and then I looked at another one that said 85% of the children live outside the city and 15% live in the city. But where are the children coming from who are in the Big Brother, Big Sister program? Are they large majority city people or
county? I'm going to actually allow, you'll notice that some of the program staff are here. I thought since they were here, if they wanted to respond to questions that are more programmatic in nature, such as where is the large percentage coming from?
And Alan, please use the microphone.
So, Joe Gibson, the program coordinator, could speak in more detail about the specifics for the Big Brother, Big Sister program, but I can answer your question for 2012. He's not able to be here tonight because it's open house for his son at the school.
I get it.
So in 2012, we served 174 young people in the Big Brother, Big Sister program, and we report to the County Youth Services Department monthly with these stats, and we have a breakdown that we typically provide of where the children live by town and by village. So for the year overall, 2012, 107 of the young people out of a total of 174 lived in the city of Ithaca. And that means that 67 of the 174 lived in various other municipalities around the county.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Will?
So I want to clarify that. That seems to contradict the chart that we had received. Am I right?
No.
Or no?
No. The chart shows city share of the budget and county share of the budget.
Right.
And there was another graph that I received that had it where the children, 85% of the children outside the city, 15% in. Okay, you have a question?
No,
all right, Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Amy, a couple of items. First, can you say off the top of your head what the participation is with regard to the other municipalities, as far as do they contribute any dollars, or are the dollars staying within their own municipalities to provide programming there?
For which program?
I'm looking at the youth development programs, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So all of the municipalities contribute. How that system was developed was that in order to access the county funding, you had to match the county funding. When there were the reductions a few years ago now, all of the municipalities stepped forward, and most municipalities overmatch all municipalities overmatch, and some of them quite a bit.
The other one, earlier we heard, and I'm sorry they left, from the workforce and development folks. You just finished a survey that you shared with the Human Services Committee and others. And everybody's into youth development for job training.
Right.
Results oriented, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that youth need that. Mention a name, Rhoda Metter, who's now up at Ithaca College heading up the gerontology program. Years ago, when she was with Cooperative Extension, this was a big to-do, and my guess is that's at least 10 years ago. So things haven't changed.
No.
But and the need for youth, for training youth and starting in the schools, I'm glad Mike picked right up on that, that it was a good idea to do some of the exposure in the schools. However, we've thrown a lot of money at youth development and job training and trying to bring people along. Can you say, and you may not have this information, to be fair to you.
Okay.
What's the bottom line as far as placements? I think Mike's comment was there were a lot of kids leaving because if kids that were leaving the area realized that some of those jobs were here, they may not be leaving the area. What's the game plan for exposing them to what's available in the area? And I noticed in the workforce development presentation, they're going to do yet another survey to find out what the needs are out in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but the employers know what the needs are. And some of them sit on various boards with the rest of us. And what I'd like to know is, when are we going to start seeing some positive result to address the need?
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I said at the beginning, it may be an unfair question to ask you, but what will be different in what you're planning to do than what we've done before?
Sure.
Long, more of a lecture than a statement.
Sure.
No.
I'm getting like Peter.
Don't you agree?
So there's a couple things that have been done and have also gone away. I went back to the slide because you'll also notice that the municipal jobs funding ended in 2010. At that time, funding also decreased for youth employment. It's increased again, but I'm talking about some of the funding that workforce brings in. So it's been a rocky road for youth employment in a lot of ways because just like other, and these are subsidized employment opportunities. When we're talking about youth development employment, it's about getting the kids the jobs, but it's also about developing the skills for them to be okay in their jobs and be successful. So there's a mix there of not just employing, but also providing career readiness skills, letting them know that they shouldn't be on their cell phones during their work hours, that they need to arrive on time, they need to dress correctly for work. So those kinds of things tie into that. On the piece, the municipal piece there, where we're looking on at increasing employment, one of the exciting things about that collaboration is that they are looking to increase public and private partnerships further. One of our youth commissions, so there's youth commissions in each of the municipalities or youth community councils that serve as a youth commission. One of our youth commissions explored this idea in the spring of this year of asking businesses if they'd be willing to pay the stipend apprenticeship program or stipend to begin that. I guess it's not an apprenticeship, but it's just a stipend, a work stipend. If they would be willing to pay that and put that into the system and take that responsibility on. Also knowing that the young person's going through the career opportunity supported. And there were a number of businesses that were really excited about that and started to create that relationship. So this collaboration among what is happening with that, there is a collaboration occurring between Caroline, Danby, Enfield, the town of Ithaca, Village of Lansing, and Village of Cayuga Heights to begin this and to start to work together on this. So I think that that's one of the new things that will be changing is working together. What's happening now in those school districts along with the city Youth Employment Services Program, which is another great program, there's many providers, and the young people sometimes get lost maneuvering which provider to go to. And so this way, there'll be even more collaboration. And the providers at this point have been wonderful, and I can't say enough about that, where they will help the young person if it comes to the city rep and say, ooh, why don't you move on to, you live in this municipality, you really need to see this person. And they also work behind the scenes to do that. So I think that that's one of the differences, is really trying to embrace this collaboration.
I have Pat and then Peter.
This is actually a question for you, Jim. That, I think, was a pie chart that you held up.
Yeah.
Could you send that around? I don't know.
Yeah, that was mailed to me by the City Youth Bureau.
Maybe you could just email it.
Will has it now.
I'd like to get a copy of it, so I was wondering if you could email it or something. Oh, you said it. You got it in May.
No, it's coming at you right there. Yeah, it was mailed to me. And I assume that when I get mail, that I think everyone probably is getting it, but apparently not. Pat, do you have a question other than that?
That was it.
Okay. Hi, Peter Stein.
Yeah, I must say, in the words of the good book, my inbox overfloweth. I've received, I think, as much mail about this Brothers and Sisters, Big Brothers and Sisters program as I did for guns and fracking. And I really, I understood those things pretty well, but I really don't understand this at all. I would like it if you could convince me quickly that I ought to vote for this. So I got, I don't really have background, and I had a difficult time following everything that you were saying. So, but I have some simple questions, really simple. This is about $50,000 you're asking for, right?
For the Big Brother, or total?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. is this one time or target?
The Big Brothers, Big Sisters portion is $21,000 that would be target.
And the other?
$20,000 that would be one time.
One time, okay. And I guess I'd like to understand the target part first. So is this a new program you're doing that you weren't doing before, or is there and if it is, it must be a new program. So could you explain why this is so important, why these people are feeling so deeply about this, that you didn't have a Big Brother, Big Sister program before, or what?
So I think what the real answer is it's a new process and how we contracted with agencies. We actually contracted with Big Brothers, Big Sisters for many, many years. In 2013, we did a new process and asked agencies to compete again. We had multiple agencies, some that aren't receiving any funding, some that are receiving reduced funding to what they received last year, and some that are receiving increased funding. For the Big Brothers, Big Sisters program, when they looked at the priorities, the needs, how the proposal competed, the committee felt like it was a priority. It's a good program, but it didn't outrank some of the other priorities
What are the things that you did instead of this? If you used to be doing it before and you're not doing it now, and you have the same amount of money, there must be some program that you thought was more important than this.
Yes. So there was increased funding to certain areas, such as rec support services through the Ithaca Youth Bureau. There was some increased funding there, increased funding for the Learning Web for some of their programming, which was runaway and homeless programming. So it ranges, but there are certain programs that received additional funds, and then there were some others that received less funds. So that's where it came from. And the reason that it was split, that there was a piece that's in our target budget and then this additional piece that's an over target, was that when we were looking at the funding priority, we felt that it would still be meeting some of the need in the community and some of these other services would help complement that.
So these other services that you funded instead, you weren't doing before. They're new services. Somehow you've dropped an existing service for something new.
It's not new. It would be expanded or helping them, because what has happened...
Okay, you expanded some services.
Yes, or reinstated. For years, they've been cut and cut, and we felt that we couldn't continue to cut the services and the programs. We needed to look at it and decide, would it make more sense to fund someone more fully to help them operate more efficiently?
What were those programs, in just a few words?
I would have to look back through our actual report to come up with exactly what they were. But in the end, most of the contracts stayed similar to what they were in the past. But there were new opportunities as well. And based on funding and what we could provide, we just had to stick with that.
Okay, what about the other ones, the ones that are one-time? What's that about?
So the one-time for the Cooperative Extension Urban Outreach is to allow them to get set up in their new location because they were in West Village only, in West Village Apartments, and now they're in LACS, and they're taking on all of the other local apartment complexes. And so that would give them 1 year of support to set that up, get that rolling, and they have some resources on staff and in the community that they could then build upon. So it would give them kind of a easier to get there.
But once you put them there, and if they can't find somebody new, then it sort of becomes target funding, right? I mean, this is hope that they'll find more funding for it.
Potentially, but it was in their proposal that they could do this in an easier. So that's where what we went with, is what people wrote in their proposals as what they defined their services as and how they were going to do it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Brian, Will, Frank.
Thanks. I get it. And Alan, you and I had this conversation the other day, but as far as big brothers, big sisters, I get it. The one thing I didn't get was what is the total? You're $20,000 short of, I'm assuming, maintenance of effort, which what was the total budget last year?
The total budget last year was our component to the total budget was $50,000. The Big Brothers Big Sisters program requested $57,400 for 2014, $50,000 for 2013, $57,400 for 2014. So they asked for an increase in funding.
Okay. All right. Now I want to go back to you in terms of youth employment.
Yes.
As long as we're talking about employment, my understanding is there's like four postal workers that are going to be out of a job after we get done with this issue of Big Brothers, Big Sisters. But at any rate.
That was a joke.
Yeah, it was. Nobody got it. That's all right.
Depending on their age, you could send them to the Youth Employment Service.
Youth Employment. Mm-hmm. This program that you've been working on and trying to work on, I'm trying to get a grasp. Is it skills, or is it just like getting and maintaining a job and how to act and that sort of stuff? And I do have a follow-up to this. But
it's first-time youth employment. It's usually a younger population. It's the skills to get ready to get into the position and then to stay in the position, and so it creates a supportive environment for that. It uses – so in youth development, one of the things that we're looking at on the evaluation side is looking at the positive features of youth development, and there's eight key features on what makes a youth development program actual youth development and helping those young people. So it uses those skills to help the young person succeed in employment. It's an expansion of a program. The town of Ithaca currently funds a large portion of that, and because that collaboration is possible, this would allow that program to continue and expand into those other municipalities.
Okay. So that's kind of what I thought. So it's not the technical skills of a particular employment. Okay. Because in my eyes, and I know that's not part of your realm, but that's something that's that we've kind of lost through BOCES and all that kind of stuff, which is really unfortunate because there's many employers out there that just can't find people. And I'll date myself, back in the day, they were able to find the trades and
right.
And all that kind of stuff, and they just there's nowhere to get it.
And that's the piece.
Other than an apprentice program or something.
That's the piece that the Youth Employment Council is really working on, is that technical and trades, the night in Newfield, the career night or industry night, is working with a lot of those fields to help young people see what kinds of skills they need and more of that. So we're working on that, more in the planning and coordination end versus the contracting end.
Okay, thanks.
I have Will, Frank, and Pat.
Thank you, Jim. Amy, I want to bring you back to your second priority, OTR 54, which was the Cornell Cooperative Extension Urban Outreach
yes.
expansion. What I heard you say was this would make it easier, and presumably if we don't give that one time, it'll make it harder. Will it happen? And before you answer, I have to say I was at a meeting last summer at LECS where there were community members from all over West Hill who were deeply concerned over a perceived mm-hmm. and significant increase in crime. And the one sort of ray of hope in all that was that they'd heard word of this program that was going to be cited there. And my concern is that if we don't do this, that it won't happen at all.
It has begun to happen. I can say that. They're in LACS right now, and I just spoke with one of the program staff, or one of my staff did recently, and they've been going door-to-door in West Hill recruiting. But what would happen is a lot of those young people, if they recruit a large population, will be waitlisted until they can find the funding to bring them on board. So pieces have happened, but the real program and to establish it may not happen in the capacity that we felt it would be.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have Frank and then Pat.
Thanks, Jim. Amy, you mentioned two other things. First, I want to stay on the LACS one.
Yes.
Is the Ithaca, and you mentioned the Ithaca City School District in a couple of other capacities, mm-hmm. particularly that collaboration mm-hmm. between Enfield, Danby Caroline, the Village of Cuba Heights, and the Town of Ithaca.
Yes.
First, is the Ithaca City School District contributing anything monetarily to supporting this? And if not, what are they contributing?
To supporting the municipal youth service system, or
yes.
No, they're not contributing monetarily. They do provide, and I'll look to Linda, they provide space in some capacity and support in the school, guidance counselor referrals, those kinds of things. So that kind of support. In the 4-H Urban Outreach Program, again, they're providing a space, and we're still negotiating that. They actually provide not only their cafeteria, but they're providing classroom space, too, because a large component of that program is literacy. And they spend a lot of time helping the young people be successful in school.
Well, do you think that in the outreach that the schools in Enfield, Caroline, and wherever else there's an Ithaca City School District school, even if it's an elementary school, would they do the same thing in with regard to that program?
Providing space. They have in the past and continue to as needed. Again, the target population for that youth development program tends to be the middle school, so it's a little older than the elementary school. But if they need a space for activities, yes,
okay.
That has been possible.
Okay. The other question has to do with transportation.
Yes.
You, of course, my TCAT hat goes on, but you mentioned something regarding vans. What is it that What is the transportation need, and is it to transport people to jobs or to training? And if it can't be accomplished with the vans, can it be accomplished with some help from Pam and Peter and I through TCAT?
So the primary mode transportation for those vans is for youth to get home after school or to activities, and as far as TCAT, we actually had a program last year that was helping young people learn how to navigate the TCAT system from Caroline.
And it was a pretty good day.
And it was a multi-week program. So I think there can be more, definitely, in that way. But the vans are the primary vehicles to get the young people where they need to be for whatever the activities are.
Okay, Pat.
I now have this pie chart. Do you have a similar sort of pie chart that shows your total budget as opposed to just the Big Brother, Big Sisters budget, which compares the percentage of kids outside the city versus inside the city, and then the percentage of the budget where it comes from? Could you do that for your total budget?
For all the youth served in all of the different programs?
I think it may be possible. I would have to look into it more because each program reports in a different fashion. So our contracted agencies reports different than recreation, which reports different than youth development. So it would be a bit difficult to come up with that, but we may be able to do it. I could look into it.
What about if it were put by categories, in several different categories?
I think it may be possible. I'll have to look into it more, but I can definitely look at that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else? Thank you both. All of you who came. We have one more.
Recreation.
Well, I was going to just say yes to it and move on.
Go. I'm with you. I'll second that.
Recreation, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, Recreation Partnership. We did this last year, too, Jim.
I know.
So are you moving it?
No, it's two slides. Go ahead.
All right. Here is the Recreation Partnership budget. Recommended expenditures, revenues, and the net local. And you'll see there's a slight increase in the Recreation Partnership budget this year. And that's based on a variety of things that the Ithaca Youth Bureau was able to pull together. And all of the municipalities have looked at that increase as well.
And there is, on my sheet, one OTR request. Is that in there? It doesn't show up anywhere, but what was it for?
I didn't receive that slide, Kevin.
Whoops.
But it should be in there. So well, that over-target funded, request
so
is for...
You.
Is that a technical term?
Was it 1.8 million, Kevin?
Yeah. 1.8 million.
I think it was just to get them, because the group had recommended a rate of growth that exceeded the 1.5% that we gave to all sponsored agencies.
Yes.
The OTR lifts them to that requested level.
It's a slight. It's just that.
Any questions for Amy?
But wasn't it close to the number Jim mentioned, the 1.2 million?
I believe so.
No.
It was total. Split over both.
Any questions
budgets.
For Amy?
$1,204.
Yes, there you go.
Wrong zero.
It was 1.2. It's like right. It's like the way the Ithaca Journal does numbers. Any questions for Amy? Again, thank you very much, Amy, and all your colleagues who took the time to show up here.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Brian.
Just a question for Joe. Are your PowerPoints going to now start having stuff flying across the screen?
I'm taking notes.
Like that? She showed you up pretty good.
I'm taking notes. I'm going to have sound effects.
Let's not leave just yet. We have one more thing. It was asked the other day. We want to start the education process for amendment making for when it's voting meeting, and Kevin has worked on that. Our voting meetings are October 21st, October 22nd, October 28th. And what Kevin is requesting and what I'm requesting is if you are going to do amendments to the budget as we get through all of our meeting next week, that you try to have the amendment for October 21st in Kevin's office by 12 noon. So that, or obviously much before that if you can, so that he may then contact department heads to be there at that night's meeting. If you don't get it in by noon of that day, it's going to show up the next day. So that's how it goes. Kevin, go ahead.
Sorry, I was trying to get it to run on my machine. I was just going to pull up and show you. I handed out a 8.5 by legal size paper, 8.5 by 14 sheet. So one side has nothing on it, and the other side just has an example of what I'm looking for. So I just sent an email out this evening that has an Excel spreadsheet that you can enter in information, or you can just email me or give me a call. And again, our voting meetings are the 21st, the 22nd, and the 28th. Because two of those happen to fall on a Monday, I asked if you can get me your motions for changes by noon on that day, and I will let department heads and agency contacts know about those potential effects on their budgets. I also provided a copy of it here, expanded budget voting meetings, and I will update this as we go. Right now it's blank, but I'll continually update this as we go. And I was just going to show you, but I'll do it that first meeting. I've created another calculator, so as we're talking, I'll be updating that calculator and keeping you up to date about the effect that it might have on the levy.
Kathy, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, just to be clear, I understand that the OTR might not show up on this piece of paper, but it's legislators' prerogative to bring these up on the floor if they should choose to do so. It's just more considerate to let everybody know. But I just want to be clear about that. It may not show up, but we have the right to bring it up.
That's correct, and I think that would be dedicated for the third budget meeting. And if we're at a point on the second one where we don't have more motions, I'd say that's the time to bring them up.
But we actually have the prerogative to bring up these pretty much at the time that we find appropriate. I don't want anybody to think that they can't bring up an OTR unless it's on the list, because sometimes these things get to be sort of amorphous. And I understand the need to have some structure and discipline about it, but also we need to have our autonomy about when to bring these up.
Go ahead.
I also want to remind the legislature that we're going to be having a special legislature meeting on October 29th at 5:30 to adopt the tentative budget as amended by this expanded budget committee. So at the last voting meeting, you will be acting on a resolution that will be presented to the legislature at that special meeting to adopt, and that will become the official recommended budget that will go to public hearing. You want me to say that again?
Frank, you want me to do it?
Sure.
Yeah, Frank, we have a special ledge meeting to amend the tentative budget Tuesday, October 29th at 5:30. Okay?
And if we don't, we're stuck with Joe's budget. Is that right?
At some point. We have until, sometime in early December to come up with something. Let me remind you of another date. October 16th is the final listening meeting, so to speak. We have two departments who didn't make it in here tonight. I will look for ways, Kevin and I and Joe will look for ways to get them into the process. It was the Sheriff's Department and the DA. And we have scheduled a public forum on the budget October 17th at 7 p.m. in here. Right? Anything else?
That's correct. And the official public hearing on the budget will be November 12th at 7 o'clock here.
And let me, one other final thing. Way at the beginning of the process, I asked for some money to be given to Kathy. We have a couple legislators made extensive contributions. There are still some folks who haven't. And, I'm not doing names. So if I'm reminding you, just drop off some money for Kathy. Okay, Nate. go ahead.
You just mentioned the DA and Sheriff's Department, but we just got an updated one of these tonight, and they're on it. So we don't have to look for a place. It looks like it's going to be a long night.
Well, yeah.
The 16th.
If we can't get through it, we can always push them to.
Yeah, we'll push them to a voting meeting. Okay, at the beginning of a voting meeting. At any rate, does anyone have any questions, comments? Thank you very much for bearing with us. I think we did a good job so far, and let's hope we can continue.